Today is March 20th, 2009, and this is the APA Weekly Report, episode number 143, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, roustabout and deckhand. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com. We encourage that. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am TM O'Brien. That's TMOBRYAN. We've been getting a lot of followers from our podcast, and we appreciate that.
We certainly do. And if you want to follow me, I'm J Gamet on Twitter. That's JGAMET.
Excellent. It was a fun week, wasn't it?
It was. It was kind of weird. It's like stuff happened this week.
Yeah, it was lots of iPhone news. It was a pretty big week. And you traveled to, in between from our last podcast, you went to Kansas.
I did. And actually, didn't I also go to Austin between the last podcast and this one?
Nope.
No. Oh, that's right. See, it all blends together after a while.
But you had gotten back from Austin.
That's right. All the way to Salina, Kansas. And I just have to say, it's surprising how much damage a small bird can do to the lights on your car when they fly in front of you and you're driving 75 miles an hour.
You weren't exceeding the speed limit, were you, Mr. Gamet?
Oh, I would never do that. Okay, just a tiny little bit. Only 5 miles an hour. Did you know that the speed limit in Kansas is 70 and not 75?
That is weird. You would think that all those empty highways would, you know.
You would think. And I had cruise control on, and so when I left Colorado, I was still going 75.
Well, sure. I remember the last time I drove through Kansas, I was doing Denver to I went like Denver to Nebraska and hung a right and went down 35. I was going to Texas. And okay. Long story being short, I was driving through the night, and this guy would like speed up, get right on my butt. I'd move over, and then he would slow down, and like he wouldn't.
Nice.
He wanted to drive right behind me. It was just the two of us on the road. It was driving me bananas.
Maybe he was scared of the dark, and so he needed a friend.
Well, you know, funny enough, I don't like it when I'm driving at night. If it's dark out, headlights from a car behind me really bother me. So I'd
sure,
rather either be far enough in
front
blindness.
Of them.
Yeah, I'd rather be either far enough in front of them or behind them, and you know, I'm comfortable either way. But it was, anyway, that's I still have issues with Kansas because of that.
Well, despite the fact that we both have some Kansas issues, I have a happy ending to my story. First, because I'm back in Colorado now.
Yay.
And second, I've already replaced the broken turn signal lens that the bird sacrificed mm-hmm. along with his own life. And holy crap, those Volvo engineers are the best ever. I didn't need an instruction manual. I didn't need tools. I had a flathead screwdriver, so I didn't have to reach down inside the engine compartment, you know, squeeze my hand down in there to release a little clip.
And, well, you know, they may be looking for a job. You can maybe hire one.
Okay.
The Volvo engineers, I mean.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I could hire one and just keep them around. So anytime I need something done on my car, they could just do it.
Indeed. Speaking of cars, to the news.
Apple showed off what's in store for iPhone owners when iPhone Software 3 comes out this summer. macOS 10 and Safari fell in short order in the Pwn2Own contest. SciStar leaned into the curveball and released yet another Mac clone. An iPod repairman landed in legal hot water after stealing 9,000 shuffles. Steve Ballmer painted a bleak future for the Mac. And AT&T is going to let shoppers buy iPhones without a contract.
The The iPhone dominates the news this week, as we noted up top, because, well, because it's cool. And because Apple held a media event Tuesday where the company unveiled iPhone Software 3.0, the next version of the operating system that makes the iPhone an iPhone. At the event, Apple showed off many new features that will be introduced with iPhone 3.0, including the long-awaited copy-paste, the long-awaited and why in the frack wasn't it there from day one support for MMS, or multi-messaging service, you know, like what some phones had in 2002. The ability for iPhone apps to interact with third-party hardware, think like blood pressure devices, speakers with virtual controls, or maybe a tiny GPS that displays out to your iPhone. Peer-to-peer networking, that's, you know, head-to-head games on an iPhone. And subscription pricing for apps, think paying for more levels or maybe just paying in perpetuity for the same app. Gotta love that. All in all, it was a fun day and one in which Apple made it clear that it was going to fill in any gaps in the iPhone and work hard to keep it ahead of the competition. Think Palm Pre and BlackBerry Storm.
And the CanSec West Pwn2Own hacking contest had barely begun before an Apple MacBook running the Safari web browser was compromised by Charlie Miller. Now, he's the same contestant that hacked into a MacBook last year. Like his successful attack from last year, he was able to breach the Mac's security with a remote attack that only required the MacBook user to click a specific link in Safari. Another hacker going by the name Nils also successfully hacked into Safari and also managed to hack through Microsoft's Internet Explorer 8 as well as Firefox running on a Sony Vaio with Windows 7. While the hackers did win prizes for their successful exploits, they don't get to share their code with the public. The contest rules give ownership of the hacks to Tipping Point's Zero Day Initiative, who will provide information to Apple, Microsoft, and Mozilla to help patch the security flaws.
PC clone maker SciStar may be in legal hot water with Apple, but that hasn't stopped the company from releasing yet another unauthorized Mac clone. Its new open 3 with parentheses mini tower ships with the macOS 10 pre-installed, which is exactly what led to its ongoing court battle with Apple over licensing and copyright issues. SciStar found itself squarely in Apple's legal line of fire after it began selling computers with macOS 10 pre-installed without first obtaining permission, and Apple's licensing does not allow for installing macOS 10 on non-Apple hardware. The two companies are scheduled to appear in court in November, so SciStar still has a few months to try more of its Mac. I'm sorry, to try to sell more of its Mac clones. And Apple's legal team has more time to include the company's newest computer in its case. Considering the shaky legal ground that SciStar is standing on, it's open three with parentheses. Mac clone could still be, or maybe, I'm just not doing that very well. Considering the shaky ground that SciStar is treading, it's open three with parentheses. Mac clone could be a collector's item by next year.
I know that was hard for you, but Brian, I'm giving you extra points just for trying hard.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. Nicholas Woodhams found himself on the wrong side of the law after being hit with fraud and money laundering charges for tricking Apple into sending him over 9,000 iPod shuffles through the company's warranty repair program. He allegedly used trial and error when entering shuffle serial numbers into Apple's system to get replacements for what the company thought were defective iPods. Then he sold the shuffles for $49 each. Of course, Mr. Woodhams is now cooperating with the court and is, quote, negotiating a resolution, unquote. His legal headaches won't, however, end once the criminal charges are resolved, because he is still facing a lawsuit Apple filed against him in 2008, and Apple's legal team isn't likely to take the case lightly, and there's no word yet on how easily he'll be able to negotiate a resolution with his bunkmate.
It's prison bunkmate. Because, you know, who's going to notice $440,000 worth of, you know, fraudulent iPods?
It got me.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the context machine. Now, back to reality, or at least sort of pseudo-reality. The tides have turned against Apple in the computing market, at least according to Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer. When asked by an interviewer at the McGraw-Hill Company's 2009 Media Summit about Apple's momentum in the computing space, Mr. Ballmer said, quote,
Apple gained about 1 point, but now I think the tide has really turned back the other direction. The economy is helpful. Paying an extra $500 for a computer in this environment, same piece of hardware, paying $500 more to get a logo on it, I think that's more of a challenging proposition for the average person than it used to be. Unquote.
In other words, Apple's been able to eat into Big Redmond's market share by doing just two things: putting a fancy logo on their Macs and charging more for them. That's it. That's all apparently they needed to do. That gullible consumer, why I oughta. Ah. Mr. Ballmer also noted that his household, like Bill Gates, are ethnically pure and do not contain any hidden iPods or iPhones. Quote,
I don't, my sons don't, my wife doesn't. You're talking to a guy, though, whose dad worked for Ford, and once Ford sold Land Rover and Jaguar, we're selling the cars to get Ford, so you may have a weird outlier in me. Unquote.
He's just, you know, fun, man.
The sad thing is, you can't write comedy this good. It just has to happen.
It just has to happen. And, you know, fortunately, Steve's there for us.
What a guy. Okay, and beginning March 26th, AT&T will start selling the iPhone 3G without requiring a subscription commitment and without the benefit of subsidized pricing. That means an 8-gigabyte iPhone will cost you $599, and a 16-gigabyte model will set you back $699. That's assuming you decide to forego a 2-year service contract. Mark Siegel, AT&T's Executive Director of Media and Analyst Relations, told us that buyers will be able to activate the handsets in the store or via iTunes when they get home, and he added that there's no early termination fee since no contract is required, but he wasn't sure if the unsubsidized iPhones will be available at Apple's stores.
Well, if I was Apple, I'd want to sell them in my stores.
Well, clearly.
Get the money up front.
Sure.
Alrighty, and that little delicious bass lick from Ricky means it's time for the Context Machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And now you're thinking Marvin Gaye too, aren't you?
Well, yeah. It's kind of creepy that you knew that.
Well, we talked about it last week, and it's just I know that I've now set that in your head. Now you're not going to be able to hear that phrase anymore without thinking Marvin Gaye.
No, I won't.
So, be that as it may, iPhone 3.0, like it, love it?
I'm looking forward to it. And I'm not going to say love it because I haven't been able to play with it yet, but I have a distinct level of likeness for it. So I'm totally in like with iPhone 3.0 right now.
Yeah, me too, I guess. I think that Apple's, like we read in the news section, they've covered some shortfalls, like the still baffling lack of MMS support. I mean, what the hell? It's the most advanced phone on the planet. Why did the original iPhone not include the ability to send a picture across the text? I mean,
well, clearly MMS was irrelevant until now.
right. That's actually, yeah.
Just like copy and paste, it didn't matter until now.
Guess not. And you know, and that inclusion is important too. So, you know, like getting those weird little deficiencies solved is great, but I think that overall, especially from a developer standpoint, the support for the third party hardware, the subscription pricing, the peer-to-peer gaming, I mean, that's not new, but you know, adding all of those things into the iPhone platform is just going to continue to make developers money, and that's going to continue to sell iPhones for Apple.
I agree. And actually, the thing that I have the most excitement about out of this whole iPhone 3.0 preview thing was that it tells me that Apple is letting the rest of the world know that the game is on and that they're going to be serious competitors in the smartphone market, which means that we have Palm and RIM will now have to step up their game so that we will have this kind of leapfrogging thing where all three of the companies are jumping past each other with new features, which ultimately means that the consumers are going to win because we're going to see all of these cool features showing up for us Okay, actually, I have a feeling it's going to be more Apple and RIM. I'm not convinced yet that Palm's going to be able to continue competing in this market.
You know, I'm not either. I hope that they do, because I would like to see more than two competitors. I'd like to see Apple, RIM, Palm, and you know, even Microsoft with Windows Mobile. Not for me, but you know, I'd like to see all four of them continue to hammer on each other. And, you know, maybe even Nokia could become relevant in the U.S. market. You know, because all of our listeners aren't necessarily in the U.S. and Nokia is the big daddy out in the rest of the world.
Right. And now we have Google Android, and assuming they can make their application store work in a way that's good for developers and for consumers, that's a potential competitor too.
A huge competitor actually. And I mean, if anything, if we're going to see consolidation in the space, the consolidation that I see would be Google, Apple, and BlackBerry, with Palm falling and Microsoft becoming increasingly irrelevant in the smartphone market. I don't want to see that happen. I'd like to see all five of them continue to hammer on each other. That's really what I want to see. But if there's going to be any consolidation, it would be those three that survive.
So, of course, we'll have to wait and see. But I would like to see more competition as opposed to less, simply because in the end, that's good for consumers.
Yeah, Apple needs competition. Apple needs to not be complacent. I mean, we as consumers of Apple's products want Apple to compete. But I think in order for Apple to continue to excel, that they need to have strong competition.
Absolutely. So, yeah, okay. Now, here's another thing. Apple listed off a long list of features at their press event, but they said that there's over 100 new features, and they didn't show off nearly that many. So I'm wondering if we're going to have some exciting surprises that crop up when the software actually ships. And I'm assuming that we're looking closer to September.
Well, they said summer.
Yeah, but September's still summer.
Yeah, you're right. September is still summer. I think that Apple probably showed off the big ones because, you know, you got to realize that they want to get these new features in the hands of developers as quickly as possible. So unless there's something big that they're sitting on that they just couldn't show, I think we probably saw the biggest one then, that most of the other 100 things that we didn't see are probably just, you know, really minor. That would be my guess, man.
I'm okay with that as long as those minor features include things like better performance in Mail, Safari is less crashy. Those are the other features that I would like to see. Oh, and add in left-handed controls.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice for you?
I would love that. I keep reaching across my screen for all the controls, and I can't see my display when I do that. And you know, I know for most people it's not a big deal, but over time that's really become a big annoyance for me.
Maybe if you would reject the devil, you could become right-handed.
No, never happen.
Well, very nice. Quick on your feet. It's good stuff. So what was your favorite new feature in the stuff that they showed?
You know, I'm going to be really lame and say copy and paste, because that's a feature that I need every day. It's not exciting like the stereo Bluetooth, which is cool, but I mean the copy and paste, that's a function that I need almost every single day.
Yeah, the push stuff is pretty exciting. I forgot to mention that in the news, but they did show off new push stuff.
Yeah, push has a lot of potential, I think, and that's assuming that Apple and the developers have a way that's really going to work well. And well, it relies on Apple,
right?
You know, and we saw how MobileMe rolled out,
right?
But Apple's good at learning their lessons. That's why we don't have a hockey puck mouse anymore. So you know, maybe they figured out a way to scale their server thing for the push system so that it will work effectively.
Well, let's hope that it's faster than the hockey puck resolution, though. I'm just saying, it took a little bit too long.
Yeah, it did.
Be that as it may, my favorite stuff was, you know, I'm definitely excited about copy and paste. I'm actually excited about the third-party hardware interaction. I'm kind of wondering what what can come of that? I mean, like the example I used of a GPS where the iPhone uses is used for the display. I can see, you know, like I can see a lot of applications for that. And that was my example. I don't think Apple showed anything to that effect. They didn't actually show too much, as a matter of fact. They showed an iPod plugged into a speaker, and all the EQ controls were on the iPod. So that was kind of cool. And then they showed a blood pressure. Cool. What are those things called?
I keep thinking defibrillator, which is not right. Although, wouldn't that be kind of cool to be able to hook one up to your iPod?
Clear.
Clear. Wait. I have to make a call first.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. Sphygmomanometer, maybe. It's sphygmomanometer. Anyway, it's the thing. It's the... And then it closes up on your arm and, you know. So, that thing. Anyway, they showed one of those where, you know, they were doing the thing and then the readings were on the iPhone. That's cool. But, you know,
I don't even care what it is. I'm just so entertained by your description of it.
You know, those things really come in handy when your blood pressure is going through the roof. You know what I'm saying, right?
By the way, I absolutely love your Steve Ballmer impression. Oh,
thank you. Just yeah, you know, he and Bill Gates actually sound pretty close. They're pretty close in a weird kind of way. You know, Steve's bigger; his voice is bigger,
and a lot less hair.
Well, he has less hair. No, but his voice is bigger than Bill's. But they both have that talking at the back of their throat, kind of, or, you know, where the throat's all closed up and. You know, relax, man. Breathe. We're gathered here today. That's Bill. And then, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm getting distracted. Maybe we'll edit that out so our readers don't have to bear with it.
We'll see. We'll see. It depends on how benevolent you're feeling.
Exactly.
When you start editing.
Exactly. So my whole point. We'll finish this up about the iPhone 3.0 stuff. Once developers are able to start playing with that. And once developers can you get that whole notion out in the wild, I mean, you know, we could see all kinds of really cool and exciting hardware additions and hardware applications for the iPhone that no one's even pretended to think about yet. And that That's could true. Be pretty cool.
It could be. And, you know, the whole timing with the announcement, of course, with Apple, there's never coincidence. Everything is very well orchestrated. And with the timing for this announcement, man, they did a fantastic job of taking the wind out of the Palm pre-sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think exactly what they wanted to do.
I think, I think they were also basically saying to the entire industry, including Palm, okay, great. You want to aim at our current iPhone? You just go ahead and do that because we're a couple steps ahead of you.
Right. Well, yeah, this was clearly a shot across the bow of the other smartphone developers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the round just landed closer to Palm's ship than RIM's. You know, I'm really proud of myself because I kept all the parts of that analogy together. Usually I jump from one to another.
Yeah, you did, and I was a bit speechless because my wife had apparently sent me a name message saying that she had just ordered me $100,000 watch, which she didn't do, but I was just momentarily speechless. I didn't know what to say.
The quantum gravity watch?
Yes, let's include a link to that.
All right, that's fine.
The Concord C1 quantum gravity watch is the most ridiculous and yet cool-looking watch I've seen in a long time.
You know, I don't have a watch, but if someone wants to buy me this, I would wear it every day.
I tell you what, they could buy both of us one.
And we'd both wear them every day. You know what? I would post pictures on BrightKite so that whoever our benefactor is could see that we're actually wearing them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's just a fracking cool watch.
It's pretty silly. It's pretty silly cool.
I don't even know what half the things, more than half the things are that are on here. But I'm just imagining R2-D2 being able to plug into this and get plans for the Death Star. And you You're just incredibly talented. Steve Ballmer, Bill Gates, and C-3PO voices. I'm amazed.
But yeah, it was such a bad C-3PO, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I bet you picked up your arms and held them at the angles.
I did. No joke, man. You were so totally correct. My arms were up when I did that. That's so funny.
Whenever you do a C-3PO accent or voice, you have to do that. I mean, that's how it works. Even my bad C-3PO voice includes the arms up. Oh, all two. What will we do now? See, it's just as bad as yours, but my arms were up.
Indeed. So this watch has a liquid green power indicator. This green liquid power indicator. So that's what that little tube of green liquid is. It rises and falls according to how much power is in the winding mechanism.
I'm trying to figure out where the quantum singularity is stored in this thing. Don't drop your watch; the entire town will implode.
Well, that part is referring to tourbillon that are in it that are supposed to basically counteract the forces of gravity in a mechanical watch. Old technology, but it's been all the rage because they're kind of expensive and hard to make. And this one apparently is taking the tourbillons to another level. So anyway, let's get back to that before our readers turn us off.
Right.
To this other stuff.
Sorry, people. It really is cool. And that's saying a lot coming from me, someone that doesn't wear a watch.
Yeah. Click through to the link we have in the show notes if you want to look at the cool watch. So in the meanwhile, Steve Ballmer, monkey boy.
You know, he just loves saying... Well, talking smack about Apple, but in his way where it sounds like he's offering an intelligent analysis.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't know, man. Our readers have actually, you know, the story just went up today, and our readers have had a bunch of really, really thoughtful commentary, which is always really awesome to see. And
yes, thanks for commenting, people. We love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like the initial reaction is someone, Lori Fleming, one of our long-term forum members at the Mac Observer and a really, really smart guy. I like him a lot. He was saying that, you know, he kind of wonders how much of this is just a public fronting from Steve and how much of it is, you know, what he actually believes. And, you know, my take is that Steve Ballmer, you know, I know the man is smart, but he's smart in a sort of meat-headed... You know, like, you know, oh, the software problem, where you want Steve hit kind of way, you know, where do you want me to hit? Because I will hit that thing. I'm telling you, I will hit it and it will know it. Sorry. I'm spiking. And it's just, I mean, it's like he cannot. I think that this is what I said in one of the comments back to Laurie was that that Mr. Ballmer seems to just not be capable of understanding that part of Apple's success right now has been a backlash to the result of Microsoft's license to all business model, where you've got people basically competing to make cheap crap as cheap as they possibly can so that maybe someone will buy their cheap crap compared to someone else's cheap crap. And that you know, Apple's success right now is certainly part marketing. And it's right. Certainly part industrial design, but a big part of it is that it works, and it works well. It just works, as we've been saying for, you know, umpteen years in the Mac world. And I actually think that to a certain degree, he just is mystified that Apple would be able to be successful with their proprietary thing, because the only possible business model in the world is Microsoft's.
You know, we talked in last podcast or the podcast before, I can't remember which one, about the whole PC industry's race to the bottom, and now they're there. And
yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, so now they're there, and anything that's outside of that business model just simply can't make sense to the people that derive all of their income from that business model. So something like an Apple computer company can't be comprehended by most of these people, I think, simply because it doesn't fit the business model that they have embraced completely and now they're really stuck with.
Mm-hmm. But I don't even know that they're capable of really thinking thinking otherwise. I mean, I don't know. The whole situation, of course, is so convoluted and complex. And, you know, there's so much history about how we got to where we are today and, you know, how Apple dropped the ball and how Microsoft was able to take over. And you know, just I mean, it is certainly a complex issue. But, you know, I'm telling you, my spot checks of the Apple stores in the Bay Area have found them to be packed full of people buying stuff.
You know, I visit the Flatiron Crossing store in Broomfield on a very regular basis. I also visit the Boulder store. I think that's 29th Street Crossing. And I'm down at the Aspen Grove store in Littleton on a semi-regular basis. And those stores are always busy. And I'm going in at odd times, like at 1 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And these places are always busy, and they're always selling. I always see people going out with iPods and MacBooks and just all the time. So it's their business model seems to be working, providing a quality product at a reasonable price. And who would have thought that that would be a good business model?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure that I said this on the show before, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it again. I would like to see Apple have other proprietary competitors.
I'd be okay with that.
There's nothing about the Windows and Microsoft world that I like. I just don't. I like one company controlling the whole widget. And I like, especially in the case of Apple, that company is obsessed with making cool and great products that work really well. And I don't know, man. I just the Windows world doesn't see it. And you know, this is all part and parcel of that whole good enough thing that I think inundates the Windows developer world. You know, where, you know, as long as it works, they don't care that, you know, their job is done. And, you know, just, I don't know. So again, it is not that I think that Steve Ballmer is stupid. The man is probably smarter than I am, but he's smart in a meat-headed, ham-fisted kind of way, just, you know, frat boy jock kind of, you know, like I said, you know, where you want Steve hit. And I don't know, man.
He's like Mongo from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, kind of. He's going to end up
with the candy gram one of these days, isn't he?
He's going to be fired, is what he's going to. That's a Mongo reference, right?
Yes, that's totally a Mongo reference.
Sorry,
Candygram for Mongo. Have you seen Blazing Saddles?
No, I have not seen Blazing Saddles.
Oh my God, what's wrong with you? Put that on your Netflix list right away.
Not a big Mel Blanc fan. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I think that Steve is going to end up being canned for Microsoft. That's what I really think. I think he's got 5 years at the most. And that he's going to end up being replaced because they need something different and they need to change the way they're doing things. And Windows 7 ain't it.
They need innovation and they don't have that.
Well, they need more than innovation, though. They need innovation and they need a different way of making their products. They need a different way at arriving at how, you know, the process of making their products is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I'm jumping back for a second because that's how I roll today. I just realized the company that could have been the proprietary computer maker that could compete directly with Apple, and that's Amiga. And sadly, they're gone.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can jump back up to where we were.
Yeah.
Bill Gates is getting fired.
No.
Wait, Steve Ballmer's getting fired. Steve Ballmer, I mix those guys up.
I think that he's going to be canned within the next 5 years, unless something dramatic changes. I think they're going to end up needing new leadership.
And, I don't see how you could make a dramatic change that quickly. I mean, you're talking about a company that is in essence an iceberg, or a glacier, and it's something that moves with great force, but it takes an amazing amount of force to change its course.
Yes, but if Steve Ballmer found the change from within him, if he had a new vision on how to lead the company, he could execute it. I do think that that's the case. It's not that he's, you know, he's not, you know, we make a lot of jokes about Monkey Boy and buffoonery and, you know, things like that. But, you know, those are all just jokes. The man is clearly smart. He's got the wrong ideas about how to compete in the current market. That's what I think.
So if he ever figures it out, then Apple's going to have to redouble its efforts to be able to compete.
Yes.
And actually, that would be an okay thing.
He won't do it. He's going to get run out of the company in 5 years. That's my prognostication.
Okay, then I just have to share the vision I have in my head, which of course goes to another Mel Brooks movie, Young Frankenstein, and I'm picturing in black and white the villagers running down the street with their pitchforks and torches.
And I had a vision of a press release in which Steve announced that he was going to leave Microsoft to spend more time with his family.
Equally entertaining.
Yeah. And none of this is said in animosity or, I am very capable of getting all ranty and ravey about stupid things that Microsoft says and, you know, like the open source is un-American and the Apple tax crap and, you know, just I more than capable of getting up in arms about things that Steve does. But none of what I'm saying right now is meant in rancor or as hyperbole or, nastiness or snarkiness. They're going to have a change if they want to stay in business. If they want to maintain the level of business that they've enjoyed heretofore.
Wow, I'm just impressed. Rancor heretofore. Those are some cool words.
You're using some words that I'm not really sure that I like.
All right. That wasn't even very good.
So I was still entertained.
Let's each take one sentence to describe the 9000 iPod thief. So you first.
Who in their right mind would think they could get away with that?
Ooh, I like that. I don't even think I can top that, so I'm just going to go with comedy.
Okay.
Dumbass.
That works, too. Very succinct.
Yeah. Well, that's probably all we need to say on that.
I'm shaking my head, as I was shaking my head when I wrote the article about that.
I know, man. What a... God, you know, and the thing is you know, when you've pulled that $400,000, you get to that $100,000 mark and you just think, oh, I can't stop this. This is too good. Like, walk away, dude. You're going to be a second-hander scumbag that's going to steal like that. Get to a point and walk away.
You know, after 10, I'd be thinking, okay, I've got enough for an iPhone. I should stop now.
Yeah.
But no, he was up over 9,000. At what point was it going to kick in his little mind? Maybe someone could catch on to this.
Yeah.
My guess is it was right when the police showed up at his door.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. All right, so that ended up being more than a sentence each.
Yeah, but it was. But
amazingly succinct for us.
You know, we should take our own advice. Succinctness is next to steveliness.
It certainly is, yep.
We're not very stevely. And we're talking about Steve Jobs in this case.
That's right. It's important we clarify which Steve we're talking about. All right. So I suppose on that note, I should take us out, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. So if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, like we've been saying over and over, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/jgamut, and you can find out all the weird little things that happen in my world when I'm not writing articles.
Indeed. Speaking of Twitter, Ken Pishna, follow me just as you were saying that.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is. It is cool. Hey, Ken, how's it going, man? Let's see. In the meanwhile, as I flip back over here to the script, you can follow me on Twitter at TM O'Brien. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. When I say good, I mean they are good. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom. recorded for us. That's all for this week.
Hey, guess what? Ken Pishin is following me now, too. How very
sweet.
Cool. Yeah. So, thanks, Ken. All right. And, as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.